In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Amen. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 29, 416. 1931. Luisa's got seven more years of writing. And this is what Jesus tells Luisa. And again, Jesus tells us the same thing. He wants us to be aware of this new and divine way of holiness that he's asking us to enter into. So Luisa, courage, my daughter. Courage is of souls who have the resolve to do good. They result to do good. And it's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's more than that. With Luisa, it's to live in the divine will. Courage is of the souls who result to do good, to live with God. Okay. They are imperturbable. Under any storm, they don't change. They're continuous. While they hear the roaring of the thunders and the lightnings to the point of trembling and remain under the pouring rain that pours over them, they use this water to be washed and to come out more beautiful, heedless of the storm. They are more than ever resolute and courageous of not moving from the good they have started. So sorry about that. This courage that God wants us to go through is we're going to hear the thunder. As a matter of fact, I just read something this morning that said the sound of the thunder has changed. Why? We're really entering into this final storm. Heedless of the storm, they are more than ever resolute and courageous not to move from the good they have started. Discouragement is of irresolute souls, those that are not focused on God. You will be discouraged if you're not focusing on God. And those souls never arrive at accomplishing good. Courage sets the way. Courage puts to flight any storm. Courage is the bread of the strong. Courage is the warlike of the one who knows how to win any battle. That's us. God's showing us that all your worry, all your fear, all your anxiety, all your complaints, all your negativity, even all of your sin, we're fighting to destroy this. This is the human imperfection. This is, even though Jesus has redeemed us, our Blessed Mother is co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary, God says, there's more that I want you to have. I want you to be sanctified. He calls us into the sanctity of sanctities. He calls the divine will the sacrament of sacraments. He asks us to let go of all that we understand and enter into this new and divine way of holiness. Therefore, good daughter, courage. This is one paragraph that you can print and put in any part of your breviary, rounds to pray. Listen to what Jesus says. He says very, very clearly. Courage sets the way. Courage puts to flight any storm. Courage is the bread of the strong. This is what we feed on. There's nothing to be whimpering about. Courage puts the flight of any storm. Courage is the bread of the strong. Courage is the warlike. We're fighting to the death of all that is human to bring us into the divine. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is why I keep on saying we have to have the zeal. We have to have the freedom to fight for God to the end. That's why, Mel Gibson's movies are always like that. You can see this in the soul. He, in his movies where he really is part of this new and divine way of holiness. It's to fight to the death. This is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. To fight to the death of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. This is not part of our life anymore. It's not part of our life. So Jesus says, courage, my daughter. Do not fear. And besides, why do you fear? And this is for our understanding as well. I gave you, Louisa, six angels for your custody. Jesus has given us our guardian angel, our holy companion, our brother companion for all eternity. All eternity, not just here on earth. We're going to work with him. And we call him because he's a warrior. He's fighting to the death for the glory of God. I gave you six angels for your custody, and each of them has the task to guide you through the interminable ways of my eternal volition so that you may requite with your acts, with your love, what the divine will did in pronouncing the six fiats in creation. Now, if you want to get a glimpse of those six angels that God wants to give to us as well, go to the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. These first 6 days, listen to what, if you really pray this after you receive Holy Communion, these first 6 days, these first six steps, you will begin to then receive this new and divine way of holiness. I mean, it takes a lot to get into this. What does that mean? You got to give up worry, give up fear, give up anxiety, give up complaints, give up negativity, give up sin. That's why I'm saying there's a lot that's coming, a new and divine way of holiness. To begin these first 6 days, read and study, put into practice what Our Lady teaches Louisa, so that we can receive as much as we want. Again, it's up to us. God has to give us what we want. As much as we want this new and divine way of holiness, this receiving divine life of our God, as much as we want, So each angel is entrusted with one fiat that came out of this fiat to call you to requite each of these fiats, even with a sacrifice of your life. That's what we're doing. We're sacrificing our human will. This is the life of misery. When you go to confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the new occasions of sin. With this sacrifice of your life, Jesus says, these angels gather your acts and form with them a crown and prostrate. They offer it to the divinity as a requital for our divine will did, so that it may be known on earth and formed as kingdom upon earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I've even given you my own angels. He gave this to Louisa, and now he offers it to us. Do you want these other angels? Read the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, the first 6 days. Read those first 6 days and put them into practice. He says, these angels gather everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do, all the acts that you do with your intellect, memory, and will, the three powers that God has given us, with them a crown and prostrate. They offer it to the divinity as a requital for what God's divine will did, that God's divine will may be known and God's divine will may be formed on earth as it is in heaven. But then he says, and this is not everything. I myself, Jesus says, at the head of the angels, guiding you, watching over you and everything, informing you the very acts and the love that is needed so that you may have sufficient love to be able to requite so many graces of our supreme will on earth as it is in heaven. That's Louisa's job. And Jesus is so overwhelmed, so happy with Louisa. He says, I want to share this with anybody at this point who wants it. You can have as much as you want or as little as you want. So he says, therefore, do not stop. You have much to do. We have much to learn. We have much to study. We have much to put into practice. And each day, it's even more glorious than the day before. You have to follow me, Jesus, who never stops. Jesus, who loves you so much. Jesus, who has called us to live at this time. He says very clearly, you have to follow the holy angels. You have to, because they, the holy angels, want to fulfill their task of entrusting that has been entrusted to them. You now, this is what Jesus says to us, have to fulfill your mission, fulfill your office, fulfill your duty. The duty that was given to Louisa, the daughter of the divine will. To what? To bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I love humanity so much that I want humanity to possess as much as they want or as little as they want. This fulfillment of the mission given to Louisa. This is the battle we're in. It's nothing to do with world. It's everything to do with heaven. Heaven is coming to the earth. And so our God has given us this great opportunity to read, to study, and to put this into practice. And he needs us to cooperate. He says, I'm not going to force you to do this. 5:29, 6:5, 1931. In seeing you, Louisa, abandoned, I saw you all alone in my arms. You see what Jesus is asking of us? He wants to see us all alone with him, like Louisa, with the nail of the abandonment of those who were to sustain you. Everyone's going to abandon us. Scripture says that. Everybody's going to abandon us. It's got to happen. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Mary. It's going to happen to us. It happened to Louisa. And in my sorrow, I said, bad world, how well you know how to repeat the scenes of my passion in my children. That's us. Your family's going to abandon you. Your neighbors are going to abandon you. Everybody, your coworkers are going to abandon you. This has to happen. You have to be abandoned. You have to experience the life of Jesus. And that means fiat. Lord, if this is what you want, if this is what you're calling me to, fiat, I'll accept it. And not only do I accept it, I want to embrace this life. And Jesus says, I offer your bitterness for the triumph of my divine will, for the help of those souls who should make it known. See, it's going to happen. And if those who should make it known don't, Jesus says, will you do it for me, for them? Will you do it? And all our life is to just to say to God, let it be done as you wish. Let it be done as you say. Therefore, courage in the painful circumstances of life. Courage. It's going to be painful. He says it's like a birth. It's like a giving birth to a child. The intenseness of the pain is more and more frequent, more and more intense until the child is born, until the kingdom is established on earth in us as it is in heaven. So he says this though, however, know that your Jesus shall never abandon you. I don't know how to do these things, abandonment. And my love is not volatile by nature, but firm and constant. And what I, God, say with my mouth comes out with the life of my heart. What Jesus says is from his love, from his heart. He's got everything planned. And all that he asks of us is, are you willing to say fiat as Our Lady did? Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Are you willing to say fiat as Jesus said? Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, they breathed into Louisa. And what does Louisa say? Fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. That's what God's waiting for. He's given us the gift of gifts, and now he asks us to begin to live this new and abundant life. This is so, so astonishing. So Jesus says in volume 7/27/1931. Louisa, my good daughter, courage, courage. You got to be courageous. Banish from you any doubt and anguish. Stop it. Get rid of it. No more giving life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. No more. Don't do this anymore, Jesus says. Get rid of it. Stop feeding the demons of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativities, and let that be gone. Feed peace, which is Jesus and Mary. Love, which is Jesus, Mary. And this peace, this love, this joy of Jesus and Mary, he says, feed that. Courage, banish from your mind any doubt and anguish, because these debilitate you and cause you to break from the flight, this running towards God, this swimming towards God, this flying towards God, that will which loves you so much, that divine will that loves you so much. Don't break it anymore, Jesus says. Be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Live heaven on earth. It is true that there have been reflections, fears, lacks of full of abandonment, in a way that in such a way that you felt the weight of your human will as if it wanted to come out back into the field to do its course. And it rendered you like a fussy little girl who fears everything, is afraid of everything, and so much so that often the soul cries. And I held you tightly in my arms to sustain you. You're going to experience that as well. You're going to experience the love of God, which holds you tightly in his arms to sustain us. And more than ever, Jesus says, I watched over your human will to keep it safe. He knows us, but he wants to see our intention. Is it to know God and love God, possess God? Jesus says, good. I will do this for you. Just get out of my way, Jesus says. He says, Louisa, enough. Basta, enough, let me do this. Therefore, daughter, true fractures between my divine will and yours, there have not been. And if, may this never be, it had been so, God for heaven forbid, my daughter, would you have incurred the same misfortune as Adam? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? True fractures. I mean, our sinfulness, our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity have not been. When we go to confession, God forgives and forgets. He knows us. He knows how weak we are. If it had been so, if this had happened to you, Louisa, you would have incurred the same misfortune as Adam. But it didn't occur. What does that mean? The more we get closer to Louisa and to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about. Even our human inadequacies are going to be made perfect. Each and every one of us, Jesus says, is going to become my divine masterpiece for God. 5/29/10/4/1931. Louisa, good daughter, courage. You oppress yourself too much. And your oppression causes you to reduce yourself to the extremes and casts you into the sad doubt that your Jesus does not love you. Jesus loves us very much. Look at him crucified. And that maybe he shall no longer come to you. No, no, I, God, do not want this doubt any longer. Oppressions, doubts, fears are wounds to my love. This love that I shed every drop of blood so that you can be sanctified. And debilitate your love for me, depriving you of the surge, of the flight, to swim, to run always, always towards me in order to love me. Jesus, like I said before, in the divine will, Jesus is calling us to so love him that we make part of our life Eucharistic adoration. O come, Emmanuel. Come, let us adore him. We have to get into the practice of being one with our Eucharistic Lord. He says, oppressions, doubts, and fears are wounds to my love that debilitate your love for me, depriving you of the surge and the flight to run, to fly, to swim always towards me, Jesus says, in order to love me. And once the continuous current of love towards me is broken, you remain like a poor, infirmed one, and I no longer find the powerful magnet of your continuous love that draws me to you. Jesus says that's in us. He knows us. We got to know him. We got to know him and love him and possess him. That's what Jesus is asking. Volume 30, 11:4, 1931. Louisa, good daughter. Whoops. Okay. Sorry. Volume 30. 11:41, 1931, wrong page. Jesus says, you must know that the continuous act forms fulfilled life, fulfilled works in you. The continuous act of living in the divine will forms the fulfilled life, the fulfilled works in you. What is not continuous can be called effects of my divine will. That's how the saints lived, but not a life that is formed in the soul, and the effects little by little vanish away and one remains on an empty stomach. So God wants us to have his life formed in us. If we have just the effects vanish away little by little, and you're therefore you're empty. He says, therefore, courage and confidence and always forward, crossing the ocean, the sea of the divine will. That's our life. And when we begin to understand this, we want to be in this boat with Louisa. We want to sail across this ocean with Louisa. And this is what God is waiting for. He's really waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. He's asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this new and divine way of holiness. Volume 30, 12, 6, 1931. Louisa, my good daughter, courage, courage, courage. Since your Jesus wants to give you more, and receive more from you. See, this isn't ordinary. He wants more. Tomorrow is good to Gaudete Sunday. Wear rose colored tomorrow. What does the rose color mean? It means Jesus is returning. He's coming soon. The mystics say that when Jesus returns, everything will turn into this pink hue. Everything will have this pink hue to tell the world, I am here. Wear rose tomorrow on Gaudete Sunday. Celebrate. When you see what you're wearing is this rose vestment, these rose colors, it's going to say to everybody, I know he's coming back. This is a glorious day. You know, we do this Laetare Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. Jesus is coming back soon. Since your Jesus wants to give you more, receive more from you. I remember I was in France one time and a couple of times I got up and I said to the Lord, what do you want? I had different color socks. I always, you know, wore black, but I had different color socks. And, you know, the Lord said, wear red. And I went, okay. I had flown. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. So I said, well, you got a surprise for me. So I put on red socks and I went to say mass at Rue de Bac. And it was the feast of Peter and Paul. The color was red. I mean, I'd been traveling. I was in a daze. And the Lord was saying, this is a day to celebrate. Ask the Lord what you should wear. I mean, everything should be at his disposal. He knows what you need. He knows what you want, what he wants. So here I put on my red socks. I go, I don't know why I'm wearing red socks. It was just, I was completely, you know, in a daze. And I go to Rue de Bac and all the vestments are red. And I said, you really know everything. He loves us so much that even the color of your socks, he wants us to be aware of. See that? So he says, there's no comparison that holds between one who has been given me proofs for a few years and one who has done for long years. So the more that we get into this, the more proof we can give to Jesus that we want this gift of gifts. We want this prodigy of prodigies. A prolonged time always tells more, more circumstances, more occasions, more tests, more pains, and remaining faithful, constant, and patient in so many circumstances, and not for a short while, but for a long time. Oh, how many more things does this tell Jesus? It's always a fiat. It's always let your will be done. The more we can do this, the happier our God gets, because he says, you really want this, don't you? You really want this. I have to give it to you. Psalm 30:117-1932. Blessed daughter Louisa, courage. Do not afflict yourself too much. For now, I want your heaven to be my divine will. See, a lot of times we go, oh, heaven's so far away. No, he says, don't afflict yourself so much. Heaven is the divine will. What is the divine will? Peace, joy, and happiness. It's fiat to God in all situations. It's heaven, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. It's to pray the rounds of creation, to pray the rounds of redemption. And if you haven't done that yet, go to LuisaPicaretta.me and download the rounds. I mean, look at the rounds for Advent, Christmas. Unbelievable. What the Lord is asking of us, he's asking us to die to our ego and our will, what we want, and do what he wants. So he says, it shall be for you celestial fatherland on earth, heaven on earth, and shall not fail to make you happy on earth and give you the pure joys from up in heaven to earth. See, this is not normal. This isn't good or saintly or holy, which we've learned from the saints. It's to live heaven on earth, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, heaven on earth, to give our fiat continuously to God, pray the rounds of creation, pray the rounds of redemption, enter into this prayer that Jesus and Mary had while on earth, enter this prayer that Adam had before the fall. This is what they taught Louisa. Psalm 30:327-1932. Each truth of mine has the virtue of occupying an office in order to maintain perfect order, perennial peace, heaven. Each truth, each lesson, each prophecy, each word that Jesus says, these truths, this love of God, this life of God, this light of God, has the virtue of occupying an office. Why? What's the office? To maintain perfect order, perennial peace. That's paradise. That's heaven. It shall be the echo of heaven. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to hear it. You will hear it. This divine I love you comes back to you. And they shall swim inside this ocean of graces, ocean of happinesses, under the sun that knows no clouds, the sky that's will always be serene. My truths and my divine will shall be the only laws and shall dominate, again, dominion, the creatures who shall enter to live in this kingdom. Laws are not of oppression, but laws of love. They shall sweetly make themselves loved, because in these laws they shall find the strength, the harmony, the happiness, the abundance of all of God's goods, as much as you want or as little as you want. Therefore, Jesus says, be courageous, have courage, always forward, always running towards my divine will, always swimming towards my divine will, always flying towards my divine will. How do we do this? Every day read, every day study, every day put this into practice. This is really a new and divine way of holiness that our God is asking us to begin to live always forward, always the kingdom. Volume 30, 6, 12, 1932. Louisa, my daughter, courage. Do not fear. Courage is the powerful weapon that kills timidity. We're going to be bold with the Lord. We're going to say, I'm going to church. I'm going to spend time with my Eucharistic Lord. I'm going to confession. I want to be freed of all my misery. I want to let that go. I want to live in the divine will. This boldness, no more timidity. I want to pray the rounds. I want to pray the rounds of creation. I want to pray the rounds of redemption. I want to put to flight every fear. I want to put everything aside to come into God's most holy divine will, to form so that God can form our breeze, this breath of God, to all of God's works. Image and likeness, that's what's coming back. And the Lord has predestined us to live at this time. Unbelievable. That's the thing that astonishes me the most. Out of all of humanity, Jesus has asked us to live in the divine will. He didn't ask the saints to do this. They were taught how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God is the true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which the newborn possesses. We breathe in this Ruah of God, this breath of God. They are all in order, Jesus says. Everything. There's no more timidity. It's all in order of our fiat. And do not move. They want this breath, this breathe of the creature in order to move their step towards them. We breathe in this divine will. It's Jesus in us breathing back the divine will of God. It's the holy humanity of Jesus that's doing this. What happens at that point is divine. Why? Jesus is doing it. We're just cooperating. I want, Jesus said to Adam, I want you to be in my image and likeness. And if this breeze is strong, they run, they swim, they fly to be the bearers of the good that each of God's works possesses. As much as you want or as little as you want. See, each and every one of us are going to be attracted to different things of God. That's how we're made. We're made unique. We're of different, we have different irises, different fingerprints, different heights, sizes, colors, shapes. Our voices are different. Why? God loves us so much. He says, would you come to me so that you can be the bearer? She was the bearer of God, the bearer of the God of this good that each of our works possesses. As much as you want or as little as you want. She's the king. She's the queen of everything, heaven and in heaven and earth. Mother and queen of heaven and earth. With her fiat mihi, she's done everything. Read, if you haven't done yet, read December 8th. Read what Jesus says about his mother. You can't get over how much he loves her. And how much she loves us. Woman, here is your son. Woman, son, here is your mother. This is the most beautiful. And then what does she do on Calvary? She gives up her son's life. She sacrifices her son's life so that we can live. What a great mother. What a great mother we have. Volume 30, 932. Excuse me. Volume 37, 9:19-32. Jesus, help me. That should be our prayer all the time. Without your holy divine will, I'm going to die of hunger. This is the food of the divine will that God wants to feed us. Louisa, my little daughter, my divine will, courage, do not lose heart. The divine life formed and nourished by divine will cannot die. And if you feel hungry, it is rather that you don't always hear my speaking of the other wonders and the novelties that my most holy divine will possesses. So Jesus is saying to us, when we cried out to God, help me, help me, help me. Jesus says, my divine will can't die. But if you're hungry, if you're not eating the bread, the first bread, the bread of the divine will, you're not listening to me. Jesus says, read, study, put this into practice, this book of heaven. And I will tell you other wonders, other novelties that my most holy divine will possesses. In interrupting speaking of mine, Jesus says, makes you feel hungry for the ever new nourishment that the divine will possesses. See, when you interrupt, oh, I haven't got time today to read. I haven't got time today. I got this and this, this. He says, it interrupts me speaking to you. And you feel hungry because you're not eating the first bread, the bread of the new nourishment that I want to feed you with. There's three breads, Jesus says. There's the third bread, your wonder bread, which you eat every day. There's the second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist that you can receive every day at Holy Mass if you wish. And you can spend every day an hour of adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament if you wish. The second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And Jesus says, I give you my second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to get you ready for the perennial communion that I'm going to give you with the first fiat. But this prepares you to receive the new nourishment of its knowledges as you read. It makes you grow and to be nourished only with the divine will when you read. This hunger is also a fortune because it can serve you as an outlet to let the celestial fatherland reign in you. And you must know that the only nourishment of these divine regions that wants to reign in you, this new act, never interrupted, are of my most holy divine will. I want you to receive the perennial communion where you can walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, Jesus says, as Adam did, as I did, as my mother did, as Louisa did, finally. Line 31, 8, 7, 1932. Louisa, good daughter, courage. Let yourself be guided by the light of my divine will that shall know how to convert the sorrows, convert the pains, convert my very privations into perennial peace and into divine conquests. The nature of its light is eclipsing, corroborating, fortifying, and wherever its light reaches, it loses the sorrow and because of the strength and the life of the divine will. It changes it into conquests, into joys, because the strength of its light surpasses everything. And there is where it takes place. All other things will lose life. Why? We're entering into this divine life, this divine light, this divine love of the divine will. Everything's going to turn into joy. Everything turns into happiness. Everything turns into peace. And if before this light, Jesus says, of my divine will, one feels the other effects and desires, it means that the fullness of the light is not full in the soul. So he says, if you're still attracted to the things of the earth, he says, you're not full yet. Nor does the divine will reign in the soul in an absolute way. If there's any more human desires, human efforts, he says, you're way far beyond. And unfortunately, I hear many, many souls say to me, Father, I've got this book. It's so wonderful. It teaches me how to love my family. It teaches me how to become more focused on God. I said, well, that's nice, but it's not divine will. Whoa, yes, it is. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm learning so much. What Jesus says to Louisa, and you got to get this through your pea brain. He says very clearly, I use that on myself, I got the pea brain. Jesus says very, very clearly that anything of earth is not of heaven. Any book written on earth is not the book of heaven. He says the book of heaven is the only book that will transform a soul. This is what Jesus wants us to enter into. So he says this. So if before the light of my divine will, one feels the effects, the desires of earth, It means that the fullness of the light is not full yet in the soul, nor does this divine will reign in the soul in an absolute way. That's what God is waiting for. That's why he says, when I find the souls who live in the divine will more than anything in an absolute way, he says, I'll give it to the world. Volume 31, 11, 13, 1932. Louisa, my daughter, courage. Your nothingness with your Jesus is everything. He loves our nothingness. He works miracles in nothing. There was a void in the universe and he said, fiat lux. And the universe began. There was a void in Mary. She said, fiat mihi. And she became the mother of God, Theotokos. Now with Louisa and us, Jesus says, there's a void that needs to be filled. Humanity has to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So the fia voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in me, this dust on earth. Breathe into me this dust as you breathe into Adam. So the kingdom can be established in me on earth as it is in heaven. Your nothingness with your Jesus is everything, and you can give me, God, everything. In fact, you must know that when you receive me in the Holy Sacrament and the Eucharist, I do not descend alone. I descend with all of my works. Just as I make you the owner of my sacramental life, so do I make you the owner of all my works in the divine will. This is why we pray the round of creation, round of redemption. Therefore, if you want, if you desire, you have much to give back to me. Because if you have my works in your power, creation, redemption, more so since my sacramental life that you receive, the Holy Host is surrounded by the acts of my most holy humanity. What my holy humanity did for me when I received myself in instituting the most holy sacrament. So every day when you receive Holy Communion, you should say, this is what Jesus teaches Louisa, Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself at the Last Supper, that I may receive you worthily. And I want to receive in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so all of humanity can receive you as you desire. I want you to reign in me. As you received yourself in the most holy sacrament, I want to receive you. And I want all my brothers and sisters to receive you. And Jesus says, it's as if everyone has, because of your desire. So Jesus says, be attentive. And with courage and without any reservation, give me from my own and all of yourself to me. So it's not only me, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. He says, give it to me. And in this way, you shall form my contentment and my traffic of love. Volume 31, 12, 16, 1932. Louisa, my daughter, courage. My divine will is consuming you with its light to form in you its divine copy. This is the divine masterpiece that God is creating. And it is jealousy. Its jealousy is so great that it does not cease for one instant to send you this abundant life, this abundant light, this abundant love, so as to give you no time to do your human will, but always to live in my most holy divine will. God is so jealous. He is now giving back to humanity through Louisa, this new becoming newborns, firstborns in the divine will, one with Louisa. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes.